Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. This is a wonderful verse. Why? Because it applies to every part of the Christian life. It influences how the Christian acts, and it applies to everything that happens, even within the church itself. It's what makes a believer a believer. It's what sets the believer apart from the world. This verse, it's all about faith. Faith. And there are so many words that go hand in hand with faith. Two of the most prominent being maybe belief and trust. You see, faith cannot exist in a vacuum. What I mean is faith cannot really exist by itself. You can't have faith in nothing. In order to have faith, there needs to be something to have faith in. You can't really trust in nothing. There has to be something to trust in. You can't really believe in nothing. There has to be something if you're going to believe in it. There has to be an object of faith. And so this morning we're going to dive into Hebrews chapter 11. First, we heard those words, right? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Assurance has a lot to do with being confident. I am confident that I am going to heaven, as I'm sure many of you are. Why? Because I have faith. Not faith all on its own, but faith and trust and belief in Jesus and the promises that he has made you. And I'm sure you guys believe in the promises that Jesus has made to you. Jesus Christ is the object of the Christian faith. We have faith in Jesus. We trust that he actually told the truth, that he actually was God himself. We have faith that he died for our sins, shedding his blood. That way we could be forgiven. Faith that not only did Jesus die, but he also rose again. Faith that the forgiveness of sins spoken, maybe at the front of a church by a pastor, is not pastor's forgiveness, but God's forgiveness given to you. And to which there are many in the world who say, prove it. Prove it. Prove that Jesus died. Prove that he shed his blood for you. Prove that he was raised back from the dead. Prove to me that simple words can do anything for you. And the sad truth, or maybe the happy truth, is that you can't. You can't go and find the test tubes to recreate Jesus' miracles. You can't say some magic incantation or, you know, just use just the right words to make somebody believe it. You can't build a time machine and send somebody back that they might see Jesus with their very own eyes. You can't test it. You can't recreate it. You can't experiment to make it proved true. Now, certainly, there are plenty of accounts from history that will say there was a man named Jesus who lived here, he did die, and people actually did see him alive after his crucifixion. There's history that supports the truth that is the foundation of our faith. But in our culture that demands proof, all we can really do is sort of shrug our shoulders and tell them that we believe it. Because God says so. Because in the Bible, God told us all of these wonderful things, and God is a trustworthy source. Now, it's not as if this whole, you know, hard to believe or, you know, our world can't believe it thing is anything new. Right? Even in the New Testament, Paul writes about this to the Corinthians. He says, we preach Christ crucified. It's a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. To believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, it is. It is a stumbling block to our world. It seems like foolishness. People just can't believe it. They don't understand how faith works. But for you, you Christians still believe. You have confidence. You have faith in Jesus Christ. You know that He will restore all things to perfection, that He will take away the sins. You have faith that the cross and resurrection of your Savior has won you forgiveness, life, and salvation. When it really comes down to it, I can't make someone believe, and neither can you. Instead, the Holy Spirit has to do the work. The Holy Spirit, working through God's Word, has to grant faith. See, there's a moment when somebody hears these promises, hears these words of God, and all of a sudden, there's like that aha moment. Like the snap of a finger, like the switch of a light, all of a sudden, they just go, "Yes, I believe that." And that is the moment when the Holy Spirit places faith in their heart. See, this faith is such a wonderful gift that we should so cling to. As our text says, right, "For by it the people of old received their commendation." And then he gives plenty of wonderful examples of faith listed in our text. There's Abel, right, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. All these people have at least one thing in common. They all died. They all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them from afar. They all had faith that Jesus was coming. See, they died in the faith, knowing that Jesus was coming. They heard the words, they heard the promises of God in their own time, and they looked forward, longing for that person who was to come to forgive them all of their sins, to grant them forgiveness, life, and salvation. Now, don't get me wrong. These folks are certainly in heaven. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. Why? Because they trusted in God's word. They trusted in God's promise. But they didn't know all the details. They didn't know that there'd be a man named Jesus. They knew there'd be a man to come to save them. But they didn't know he'd be called Jesus. They didn't know of his many miracles. They didn't know what sort of sermons he would preach. They didn't know about his bloody cross. They didn't know about his empty tomb. But they had faith that Jesus would come to deliver them, to save them. And they believed it wholeheartedly. And the truth is that we are much better off. You see, they were always looking for these promises that were far away, these promises that were yet to come. And now us in the year 2016, we see the picture more fully. You see, we have the great privilege of having both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the entirety of God's counsel, the entirety of God's word to the world. We don't need to wait for a Savior who is far off. Instead, we get to experience Him firsthand, not by sight, but by faith. You see, our God-given faith allows us to receive those things that were promised, namely baptism, namely the Lord's Supper, namely the Word, namely the cross and empty tomb. And just as the people of old were saved by their faith that trusted in the promises, so too are you. You are saved by trusting in the promises that God has given. Baptism, the Lord's Supper, the preached word, these are the promises of God. And you will be commended for your faith in these promises. We go back to an earlier example. You know, Jesus says, right? What does Jesus tell us? Well, in the last chapter of Matthew, he says, "Go, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And so what did we just confess in our third part of baptism? But the word of God is combined with the water, and it makes a baptism. Heaven is open. Sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit descends and we are called children of God. The world will yell at us, prove it. I didn't see a dove descend. All I saw was water and word. But we simply believe it because Jesus has promised. Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. Combining God's word, God's promise, with the bread and wine. And what happens? But it truly becomes his body and blood. So to sustain and strengthen our faith. And then scientists will take the consecrated elements of the Lord's Supper and put them under a microscope and say, nope, just bread and wine here. They want proof. They want us to prove it. But faith can't prove it. Instead, your faith is commended when you simply believe that when these two things, the Word of God and the elements, come together, that it actually happens. Because God has promised that it does. Jesus also says, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And whoever sins you retain, they are retained. And in Scripture there, we hear that simple words can either unlock or lock the doors to heaven. That's exactly what happened here at the start of our service. I, in the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ, forgive you all of your sins, and heaven is unlocked to you. It's open. It's ready. And for the unrepentant, been given the command to say your sins are not forgiven. For those who do not feel sorry for your sins, heaven is closed. And the world says, who are you to say that you can either unlock or lock heaven to me? They want proof. They yell, prove it. How can simple words grant or remove heaven? And yet, by the words of Jesus, our faith simply believes. And so this day, know that you do not have to see things from afar. These promises of God, this faith, this forgiveness, this life, this salvation, the very blood of Jesus dripping from the cross, the very empty tomb displayed glorious for you, stone rolled away. It's a promise for you this very day. And by faith, you get it firsthand. These promises, they go into your ears and they leave with you as you go out the door. They go with you into a world where you get to spread the very same promises, where you get to hold these promises so dear and deliver them to people who might not yet believe. These promises are yours to keep, and by faith, you receive commendation. Because Jesus has given himself to you. He has been crucified for you. He has been risen for you. He has baptized you. He has fed you with his very body and blood. And through his word, you are saved. My friends, I don't know if you feel commended. I don't know if you feel like this promise is something spectacular. But the truth is, you don't have to. Because faith is not a feeling. Faith is a gift. And thanks be to God that Jesus has given you the gift of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.